Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life Body. Welcome. I'm going to be revisiting what I talked about in the previous message. I was not able to include the passage from Luke. So I'm going to be sharing passages from the Gospels and perchance a bit from Acts of the Apostles. And again, this is all pertaining to the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his ascension 40 days after his resurrection and after having shared with, witnessed to, instructed his apostles and disciples during those 40 days. Not for the entirety of the 40 days, but at different points throughout that period of 40 days. So beginning with the Gospel of Matthew, what is listed as being the 28th chapter. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. There is tremendous similarity, agreement between the Gospels, but that's not to say that there are no differences. Going back to the beginning here of what is listed as being chapter 28, the last portion of Scripture in the Gospel according to Matthew. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, which has, since this time, been recognized as the holy day of the week to worship the Lord. But every day is the Lord's day, truly. And for those who do not trust our calendars, the Gregorian calendar, the Julian calendar before that, the Hebraic calendars, all of which have significant issues, who's to say that we have the right day of the week? Well, some would say that's heresy, that's blasphemous. Well, it really, truly doesn't matter. It really, truly doesn't matter whether we have the correct day or not, according to our thinking, as far as the Sabbath. Whether what we think is Sunday, and whether what we think is this holy day or that holy day is actually on that day, with regard to the feasts and the other celebrations and the birth of Christ and so forth. Every day is the Lord's day. Every day is a day for God to be worshiped, obeyed, honored, served, trusted, sought. And here came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. The other Mary being Mary, the mother of Jesus. Again, variously referred to as Mary, the mother of James, Mary, the mother of Joseph, or Mary, the mother of both of them. She was Mary, the mother of Jesus. And after giving birth to Christ, Jesus, she conceived and bore four sons and several daughters. The sons being James and Joseph and Judas and Simon. Not to be confused with Simon Peter. No. Nor to be confused with the Simon that was the father of Judas Iscariot. No. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. That must have been quite the sight. Quite the sight. Look at the reaction of the Roman soldiers, the quaternion that has been entrusted with ensuring that the body, the corpse, corpus delicti, that the body of Jesus is not stolen away, not disturbed, not taken away by these apostles who fled in terror when Jesus was taken. But now, they're going to take on a royal detachment, if you will, of Roman soldiers, headed up likely by a centurion. For what? For a dead body? When they would not do as much for their living, breathing Lord and Master? Well, this angel, he descended from heaven. He came and rolled back the stone from the door. There was this great earthquake. And he sat upon the stone that he had rolled back. And his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, dread, terror of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. These keepers are not gardeners. They are not employees of a cemetery. This is a detachment of Roman soldiers whom, if they fail on their assignment, will be executed. And they've been given a very simple task. But now they are terror-stricken at this event that has taken place. This earthquake, this angel coming down and rolling back the stone from the mouth of the sepulcher, and they all tremble and shake and become as dead men. These mighty soldiers. And the angel answered and said unto the women, unto Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, among others, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. He is risen from the dead. Come see the place where the Lord lay, where he had been. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. A very simple communication from the angel for them to go and tell his disciples that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and to go meet him. And Mary and Mary, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and perchance another one or two, quickly depart. And they depart with fear and great joy. How is it possible to have these contrasting emotions simultaneously? Fear and great joy. Fear of the angel. Fear of the power of God. The awesome power of God. Not to be confused with this foolishness of using the term awesome to refer to everything under the sun that is short of awesome. God alone is awesome. But filled with fear about that, but joy, unspeakable joy, that Jesus Christ is risen, is alive. There are other women spoken of, Salome, Joanna, but the ones consistently in every gospel are Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. That they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Well, Galilee is a bit of a jaunt from here. It is one of the places that Jesus appears to the apostles and disciples, but definitely not the only one. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Well, if those soldiers had not been so blinded by greed, they never, ever would have been willing to do as these Jewish leaders sought to have them do, as they bribed them to do. Why is that? Because that would be a death sentence for them. For them to say that they were sleeping while on watch, that would be a death sentence. For them to say that they were unable to do their task, to fulfill their duty, because they were sleeping while Jesus's terrified disciples crept in, moved this massive stone, and carried away his body, which was bound with 100 pounds of spices. And meanwhile, they just slept through it all. Remarkable. But they did apparently state such. And they were spared from being executed because the Jews went to bat for them with Pontius Pilate. Amazing what people will do for money. If you think that I exaggerate with regard to the matter of that being a death sentence for Roman soldiers who were tasked with being on watch for them to sleep, consider this. First of all, the Romans were very cruel, very cruel. Barbaric, pagan, heathens. If we just go back to the 1860s of the war between the states in the United States of America, lo and behold, young teenage boys that were on sentry duty, on watch duty, if they fell asleep, they could be executed for that. Here in the Christian United States of America. Yes, it was more Christian then than it is now, amazingly enough. But that was considered a capital crime, to sleep while on watch. More so for the Roman soldiers, for an entire quaternion of Roman soldiers assigned this duty. But so the Jews passed this down, communicated this, published this, and publishing is not necessarily confined to written publishing. And be oral. But they published it and they passed it down so that it was repeated down through the ages, even to present times, that this is what took place. And that's why there is no body of Jesus. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Not one, not just Thomas, doubting Thomas, some some as more than one, some doubted. Some of the 11 pillars, the 11 apostles, some of them doubted. Even though Jesus had appointed that they should meet him there, even though it has been testified to them by Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, that Jesus is risen and alive, and that an angel of God told them to tell the apostles. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus had all power in heaven and in earth before he came to earth. And he has all power in heaven and in earth again, following his resurrection. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, not creatures, but nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Yes, there are some who insist on baptizing in Jesus' name only. And that is according to, you know, they can glean one verse of Scripture that refers to baptizing in the name of Jesus. And therefore, of course, they're only to baptize in the name of Jesus as compared to the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. But be that as it may, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The way this is constructed, one would think that all of this took place in one day. Maybe two. No. This is taking place over a span of 40 days. But what did he command in addition to teaching all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you? All things. There are a great, great, great many churches and denominations and affiliations of churches, a great many pastors that do not do this. Instead, they teach what they prefer to teach. They omit what they prefer to omit. At the end of the book of Revelation, it has a stern warning concerning such things. And it is not a suggestion. At the end of what is listed as being the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation, it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So what does that mean? To have your part taken away out of the book of life and out of the holy city. There's no middle ground, if you will, between the eternal kingdom of God and the lake of fire and brimstone. There's not some happy medium for people that don't want to be or don't qualify to be in the kingdom of God in the New Jerusalem, but don't want to be in the lake of fire and brimstone. There is no such place. So if your part is taken out of the book of life and out of the holy city, you're in a heap of trouble, as some would say. But again, many churches, denominations, non-denominational churches and what have you, are very selective with the Word of God. Better to be selective with the epistles than to be selective with the words of Christ. If you're going to be selective, whatever you do, don't be selective with the words of Christ. Even if you don't wholeheartedly agree with it all, do not be selective with it, because you do not want the Lord's displeasure. In the Gospel according to Luke, in what is listed as being the 24th chapter, which is the last chapter, which leads directly into the Gospel of John. So beginning with this passage. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. But wait a minute. You said that the body of Jesus was wrapped. The grave clothes were wrapped with this certain amount of spices, 100-pound weight or whatever. Yes, according to the word of God, that is true. That was done by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, one of the Jewish rulers. That was done while he was being buried. It was done at that time. It was not done afterwards. And yet, these women, Mary Magdalena, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and so forth, they brought with them spices and such to grace the body of Jesus with. But, alas, it was too late. He was risen. So they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, such as Salome, such as Joanna. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. So beginning again with what is listed as being chapter 24 of the Gospel according to Luke. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalena, and Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them, that is, to the apostles, as idle tales, and they believed them not. Now, yes, you can quibble about two angels instead of one, or one angel instead of two. But the consistency is unmistakable nonetheless. And Mary Magdalena and Mary, the mother of Jesus, here referred to as Mary, the mother of James, one of her natural born children, James and Joseph and Judas and Simon and their sisters. Mary Magdalena and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Joanna and others. Their words seemed as idle tales. You know, old wives' tales, except these are not old women. But this is the way it was with the apostles. They were unbelieving, unwilling to believe. If you think it was a matter of the apostles and disciples being gullible, you know, just so willing to believe, so ready to believe, just carried away with emotional reaction, well, then you're really missing the nature of these apostles. These were not emotional men. These were not sentimentalists. They weren't. You might think, well, John was. Peter, no. But John was emotional and sentimental. Really. James and John, not to be confused with the James, the son of Mary, but James and John, Jesus referred to them. He gave them the name of Boanerges, the sons of thunder. Oh, but John is so sweet. John and James asked Jesus permission for them to bring down fire upon a town, a village of Samaritans who did not receive them because Jesus' face was as he were headed to Jerusalem. These were not emotional, sentimental men. I am far more emotional and sentimental than the most emotional and sentimental of the apostles. Far and away. Hard as that may be to believe, but the Lord Jesus Christ told them that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. He told them this time after time after time, and here after the fact, and they're being told that he's risen, and they refuse to believe it. Their belief was not based on gullibleness. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, the grave clothes, with the 100-pound weight of spices that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had wrapped together in them. He beheld the linen grave clothes laid by themselves and the napkin. It doesn't mention the napkin around the face in another place. And he departed wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. As it says later on here, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre. They don't say Peter, they say certain of them. Now, certain is a word that Luke throws around all over the place, extraneously, superfluously, all the time. Drives me nuts, but he does. It's like using salt and pepper. He uses certain all over the place. But there were others, or at least an other. In the gospel according to John and Peter run to the sepulchre. John arrives first, but John does not enter the sepulchre initially. Peter arrives and he rushes in. And then John enters afterwards. But Peter leaves, then John leaves. But Mary Magdalene remains behind. Certain includes Mary Magdalene. She rushes back to the sepulchre when they do. It never says explicitly that she did, but lo and behold, after having gone to the apostles and told them, we find her back at the sepulcher when Peter and John leave. She has rushed back to the sepulcher. And unlike Peter and John, she remains. And Jesus speaks with her. But and behold, two of the disciples, went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. However far that is. I'm thinking that's a ways, but something to the tune of, let me see. I'm not sure right off the bat. I believe approximately 15 miles. But, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. These two men, these two disciples, are discussing what it is that's taken place. The taking of Jesus, the brutalization of Jesus, the crucifixion of Jesus, and his death, and his burial, and now word of his resurrection. That is, if they were privy to having heard word of that, because they may not have been. But again, given that this is taking place over a span of time, over 40 days, it's likely that they did hear before they made their journey to Emmaus. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. These are two disciples, but these are not apostles. But Jesus is going out of his way to meet them away from Jerusalem. And he meets them and he listens to them and he talks with them. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. He joined himself to them, went along with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, in another place it mentions about that his appearance was changed so that they would not recognize him for that purpose, so that they would not, because they would instantly recognize him. But that was prevented. That was not the Lord's will that they should identify him visually. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them whose name was Cleopas answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he, being Jesus, said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. So you see, they did hear. They did know, but they too did not believe. They are wondering. They are communing. They are conversing. And they are referring to Jesus. Do you notice the way that they're referring to him? They're not referring to him as the Messiah, the Christ. They're saying Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet mighty in deed and word. That is their take on Jesus. Even after his resurrection, that is their take on Jesus. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. After all of that, after being testified to by the women, not only that they had not seen him, that he was gone from the sepulchre, but that they testified, the women including Mary, the mother of Jesus, testified to all of them that angels had spoken to them, telling them that Jesus Christ was risen. And also others of them, certain of them, some of them, apostles, disciples, including Peter and John, went to the sepulchre and verified that it was empty and that the grave clothes were there and the napkin about his face, the linen grave clothes napkin about his face. But that's not enough for them, for these men. No, these men, you know, very emotional men, right? Very gullible men, very easily believing men, right? And they still don't believe that Jesus is Christ, that Jesus is Messiah, that Jesus is risen. Are they bad men? No. These are disciples of Jesus. These are godly men, but even as the apostles are, they are lacking, right? They are dull and lacking. Dull, I don't mean stupid. I mean that they are not sensitive. They are callous, even, if you will. Jesus speaks to them. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Oh my, we're not supposed to call people fools. That's not Christian to do that. Well, I'm going to cut Jesus some slack here and say it's okay for God Almighty to call we dull, sinful, callous people fools. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Not just that Jesus testified, but all that the prophets testified, prophesied. All that was prophesied concerning the Messiah, the sent one, the just one, the only begotten Son of God, the only name given under heaven by which we may be saved. The only one. All of the prophecies, all of the testimonies throughout all of the prophets and the law and the Psalms. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. How can you fail to believe these things? Of all people, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. all the prophets means those referred to as the great prophets, those referred to as the lesser or minor prophets, and so forth. But then there are those that are not referred to in either group, you know, Elijah and Elisha and so forth, but and Moses. But and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he, Jesus, made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And they still don't realize that he is Jesus. After all of this, they still don't realize who it is. And he went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened. Finally, their eyes were opened in spite of their dullness, insensitivity, callousness, unbelief. Their eyes were opened by God. By Jesus doing this, taking the bread, blessing it, and breaking it, it caused them to realize that it was Jesus. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. No, he didn't get up from the table and go out the door. He vanished out of their sight. Vanished out of their sight. Well, wait a minute. Couldn't he have done that after his resurrection as far as leaving the tomb? I do believe so. But you see, if the stone were not rolled away, who would have known that he was resurrected? Who would have known he was risen? Yes, he could have appeared to all of the apostles and disciples, but God Almighty, it pleased him to do things this way, even if he did not need to do them this way. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? Did not our thick, callous hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And guess what? The apostles did not believe. It doesn't say that here, but it says it elsewhere. In other Gospels, that they still did not believe. The apostles did not believe. Oh, but wait a minute, I thought it was just these two men. You know, just Cleopas and this other one that were these thick clods. You know, so unemotional and unsentimental and free from gullibility. No, it's all of them. They're all that way. All of them. Not just Thomas, doubting Thomas. Not just him. It's all of them. But, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Fascinating. Now, these this group of men was not a fearful group of men. They were not a weak group of men. These were physical, strong, hard-working, rough, tough men. You don't get that from a lot of churches. You just don't get that idea, oh yes, Peter was that way, but not John. Oh no, not John. And of course, by implication, then not his brother James, you know, not the others, and Matthew, just, you know, a publican, a tax collector. I mean, but they were. This was a strong, tough group of men. They needed to be. This was during the Roman Empire. This was during the Roman occupation of the Holy Land. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. Not Jesus, but a spirit. Not Jesus, but a ghost. Even though he starts off by saying unto them, peace be unto you. Well, a lot of good that did. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that at it is I myself. It's me. What are you being terrified about? Be one thing if it was a Roman detachment outside the door and they're coming for you, but this is me, Jesus. It is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Yes. We have the passage before in Matthew, and that Mary Magdalene and Mary held Jesus by his feet. And then here he says to them, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. So they not only see his hands and feet, but they touch him. He says for them to handle him. In another place, however, in John, in the gospel according to John, he says to Mary Magdalena all by herself, touch me not, for I have not ascended to my God and your God. But here we are. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not, while they yet believed not, truly, that's what it says. While they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat it before them. And this calmed them down. All right? This calmed them down. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. All prophecies of Messiah, of Christ, must be fulfilled, every last one of them, that is written in the law and the prophets and the Psalms, must be fulfilled. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Because the Scriptures, they were blind to. Again, this was not a group of Pharisees or Sadducees or doctors of the law or scribes. No, but they had been tutored by Jesus for 3.5 years. And the overwhelming majority of the Pharisees, overwhelming majority, were blind to the Scriptures. All of the Sadducees, how can I say that about the Sadducees? Because all Sadducees, by definition, refused to believe in resurrection of the dead, among other things. But then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, and may God Almighty see fit to do so for all of us, that we may better understand. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Beginning at Jerusalem. There are those who would insist that that's where it should stop. That's where it should end. But repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, all peoples, all kindreds, all tongues, all races, all nationalities, all ethnicities, all families, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. You are without excuse. You are witnesses, eyewitnesses to me. And ye shall be required to obey and to serve. This hand-picked group of people who were entrusted with the most precious treasure of heaven in the person of Jesus Christ and in the word of Jesus Christ, having been with him, having been alongside him, having been witness to his ministry, and having been taught by him, ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. I've opened your eyes. I've opened the Scriptures to you. I've taught you everything you need to know. But you need more. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be given a diploma, until ye be authorized by man. Is that really what it's about? Until ye be endued with power from on high. Not ordained by men. Not taught by men. Not trained by men. But taught by God, trained by God, ordained by God, endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Continually until they were endued with power. 10 days later at Pentecost. God's ways are so very, very different from man's ways. So very different that we just can't understand. We can't grasp the truth. But Heavenly Father, Holy God, Mighty Lord and King and God, open thy word, thy scriptures to us. Open our eyes. Give us understanding and endue us with power to work the works and to work greater works and to be used by thee for thy glory to bear witness to thy holy Son, Jesus. Blessed be he who cometh in the name of the Lord, in spirit and truth, in word and deed, in power and might. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, and account us worthy to stand together before thee at thy coming. In Jesus' name, amen.